Welcome to Star Fleet On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SW Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remember how to join us for a talk cast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, so dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions, call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702 or SFU On Call or Starfleet Universe On Call. You should be able to find us there. But if you want the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you'll find us there. You will join the chat room and watch my lovely face as we live stream it over the interwebs. And of course, there's lovely podcasts, Get Into a Podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. We have, of course, Steve Patrick still working on Module K and the Orion Master Starship book. Also released this past week is a Call to Arms Starfleet book 1.2, the Gorn Ship Roster Card Pack Revised, is now available. Also this week, found on the online store, is GURPS Klingon Gunboat Deck Plans. This is actually a cool little thing. It's only $16.95. It's deck plans created by Nick Blank. If anyone of you are at Starfleet Universe and have gone to Origins, you probably met Nick Blank because he was a judge for many, many years. We judged together. And also, he was also into F&E, so he did a lot of that stuff after he stopped judging at Origins. But anyhow, what he did is make these breathtaking deck plans in a scale designed for use with miniatures or cardboard heroes. The standard G1, which is what this is shown in 6 sheets, 3 for each deck, as is for the U1 workboat. 2 additional sheets provide the upper and lower decks for the G1L hull extensions. Also includes 5 color crewmen, 27 of them, and an all deck planes sheets are double-sided with 1 meter hexes on one side and 1.5 meter squares on the other side. So you can actually, it's really good for actually playing Prime Directive when you're in the actual, if you're using a gunboat in that campaign. Also, of course, the star going on to the SFB Online tournament, the Sapphire Star 17 tournament. Now we have 13 signups. We have 3 more to go. Looks like they're asking me to send out another email. I will do that. Also, I'll see if I can post that up on the Facebook groups so that they will know that, hey, we're still looking for people. We just need 3 more people. We got Steve McCain who just signed up, and we just need 3 more people. Just 3 more people. I'm signed up myself, so I'm doing my part. You out there who play SFB, do your part. Sign up. And moving onward and forward to the library report. Actually, there have been no updates when it comes to the library. I was really tired last weekend. Hopefully this weekend I should be able to get around to actually creating a update for the refits and the explanation of the refits and how they work so that Matt and Frank can better handle them and I can get what I want, which is general units that actually create the refits the way I would expect them to be done. At least I want them to be done. Let's be honest here. And when it comes to the FedCom library, no progress there either. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one and all Paul Francis, welcome to you, the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have me. And Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
How are you doing this lovely evening?
I are here. How are you?
I am here and I'm doing pretty good. Actually, I was watching the debate a little bit, kind of. Yeah, I'm not gonna talk about it. I just want to mention what I was doing. That's it. It was interesting.
I specifically am totally avoiding it because I have absolutely no interest in watching two extremely geriatric men point their fingers at each other and
say, "Get off of my lawn." Yeah.
Yeah, basically. And then they will both be mercilessly mocked by their
each other's party, yeah.
But yeah, by the other side,
right.
Repeatedly afterwards. It's you pretty much know how all that's going to go. It's going to be a lot of canned answers. I mean, the only entertainment factor is going to be like when they go off script, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. Okay, that's it. No more. Well,
another thing.
That wasn't even really politics. It was just mention of what political theater is happening this evening.
Oh, good God.
As I said, I'm not going to be...
things that are less political theater, Origins was this past weekend.
Yeah, it's that early? Huh.
Yeah, it's over.
Wow.
It is now in the past for mm-hmm. this year. Like, yeah, it catches up every year. It's like, hey, and done.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a long, long time since I went to Origins.
Yeah, I think about going, and then I think, okay, never mind. I mean, it's like, what is there for me now?
Oh, agreed.
You know, at this point.
I really should go, maybe not to Origins, but go to, like, PAX in Philadelphia. Because it's not that far.
You know? I've never been to that one yet.
Me neither, but I know they have a lot of board games and things like that. And it's like, there's something that's interesting.
Right now, I'm happy to get out twice a year to do gamers.
That's what I have not checked, which is Historicon, which is supposed to be down in Lancaster, if I recall correctly.
Historicon, yeah, it was in Lancaster for decades, and then they moved to, like, Virginia, Northern Virginia, something.
Okay.
And now I think they're back in Lancaster. The first time I went to Historicon, it was actually in Camp Hill, just across the river from Harrisburg. Way back in the day.
Way back in the day.
That was a lot of fun. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about, like, 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, when I was home in between Army tours. And, you know, I went to that one, and it's like the few times that I've gotten to go, that's been fun. I've gotten to play games. I liked
really,
playing
people?
Fire and Fury down at... I had the pleasure of playing a Fire and Fury scenario where the guy who makes the game was running the scenario, and it was from the book that he was releasing that year. And I got to break the scenario.
Wow.
I'm trying to remember the name of the battle, but it was like American Civil War. And it wasn't like Gettysburg or Antietam. It was like, I'm thinking either Chickamauga or Murfreesboro or something. It was one of the ones in the Western Theater, but it was like Tennessee or Kentucky. And basically, the way the map was set up and the way everything went down, I was able to take a cavalry unit and put it in column and run it up a road behind the Union lines and say, okay, I'm just totally breaking your lines. And it's like, I was in the position to do exactly that when we went to like lunch break. And I came back from lunch break early, and the guy who basically the game designer, not just the guy who runs the game designer, I'm sorry, was standing there talking with some other guy and looking at the situation and saying, that's the end of the game right there. This guy does that, which he meant me, and it's literally just over for the one side. And so, in the interest of having a fun time, he decided to, we're just gonna like, and he explained it to everybody when everybody was back. He says, okay, look here, this guy right here, meaning me, he's in the position where he's gonna run these guys up behind you, and he's just gonna attack here and break the game, break the scenario. So, we're gonna call it a win for that side. And in the interest of playing, we're just gonna kind of move his guys back over here for now, and we'll continue.
Right. So the idea is, okay, we just, you got, this guy won, but we're gonna back his pieces so we actually can have some fun playing this scenario.
We're gonna have a few more hours of play instead of a few more minutes.
Right.
Instead of a couple turns, we'll have the rest of the afternoon.
Right.
So I felt pretty good. It was great battles of the oh God. Not great battles of Civil War. It was I forget the name of the book, but I actually have the book. It's like I have both scenario books that he put out and the game, but I don't have any minis for it. I never painted any of the Napoleonic or the Civil War minis from that time period when I used to play. Because the few people in the area that I found who played, they basically had their armies. And they had the armies for both sides for all scenarios. I'm like, okay. So it's like all I did was I bought the books. I mean, I have a copy of Napoleon's Battles somewhere,
Oh, cool.
which is also a fun game, but
Oh,
there it is.
understood. Hey, Jeff.
Good evening, everyone. The reports to my demise are highly anticipated, but erroneous.
Understood, though that you are cutting the whole really
Massively.
garbled.
Yeah, a lot of garbly. Garbledy garble. So, hi, Jeff. What part of the country are you in tonight?
Uh-oh. I wonder if we lost him.
Sydney, Nebraska.
Ah.
Cool.
Yeah,
So
the signal's horrible. I agree there.
did I mention last week the issue with gamers?
Oh, you
That
mean that the hotel might be turned into something different?
yeah, they're going to be repurposed eventually, but right now, even if the deal goes through, we're good for this summer, and I don't know, maybe this winter, maybe not, but they won't actually do their transition until like next May or something.
Yeah, and my understanding of what I heard, I think where I either read it or heard it, that there was actually a council meeting, and it was,
And they said no.
yes.
That's correct. I may have mentioned that too.
Okay.
So that might have been part of last week's conversation.
That might be.
But yeah, that was also in the thread for the convention on Facebook too. So we're still a go. Yay.
Cool.
And are you participating in the current tournament that's coming up?
Yes.
And is that the one you wanted to talk about?
Yes, actually, I have another ship I wanted to talk about, because I looked at some of the ships and I went, really? What kind of different tactics can you actually use these? Like Gazini. What else could you do with them? It's kind of, the ship is designed for a certain play style, which is, you know, lots of drones, possible, you know, knife fight, and that's about it, you know?
Well, it can be a kitey ship, too. You've got disruptors, you got four of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're not all forward arc. No, wait, are they all forward arc?
They're all forward arc, but...
But they also have that little...
You got pairs, which are FA plus R... And FA
and
plus L.
Plus L. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a ship that you can use.
Zanti has advantages, not just drones. They have extended disruptor arcs. They've got a really good secondary phaser belt as far as the phaser threes go. They have some disadvantages in that if you run out of drones, you're going to lose most of your ability to force battle. It's one of those weird ships that it works until you run out of ammo, and then it doesn't.
Right.
And in my last tournament, what I ran into was I had the same spaces of drones as my opponent, and my opponent had half again as much crunch power. On top of that, Hellbore poking in on shield number three for 11 points of internals every time he hit me didn't help.
No, that would not help. But yeah, obviously, one of the good things about the Zinni is the phaser threes are good number of arcs outside the FA arc. You know, you got left side, right side, and also left, left rear, and right, right rear. So anything from the sides automatically hit a phaser three. And so you do have the defensive even outside the FA arc. And same for, you got two phaser ones, which are 360, and the phaser ones that are up the front of the ship, you've got those same arcs that the disruptors have, FAL and FAR. So, it can actually fight kind of out, you know, out shield number three and shield number five. But
interesting thing about it is, if you
it's really good. It's really good for keeping the saber dance going.
Yeah, true. What was that, Doug?
Yeah, just a random thought. But if you really wanted to do a kitey kind of fight, you know, where you're firing a couple phasers and a couple disruptors a turn, you know, you could be stringing your drones out as basically, you know, phaser soaker uppers on your opponent instead of like trying to just overwhelm them. So
now the question I have, if you're going to do that, would you change the loadout for your drone racks? I.e., don't switch out two of the type, like the three times you're allowed to switch out two type ones for type four. Therefore, you have more drones overall for the fight.
Yeah, basically. And I probably limit it to like, you know, just a couple of turn for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason that you switch out those drones for the Type 4 is for an overwhelming attack.
Right.
So... And if you're going to do a subtle, long-term fight, then you can't really do that.
True.
No, if you're going to try to grind them down, yeah, you're going to want all the drones you can get, and you'll probably end up wanting to unload your scatter pack for additional super inventory drones to reload racks with after you start repairing them late in the game.
That is a good idea.
You
now,
can
the question...
unload your scatter pack for ammo, but you can't load a new one.
Right. Understood. Which brings up the other question, which is, do you want to possibly, what's the other, there's some other, this is the SSD book, sorry, possibly have the extended, I think you can get extended range drones as part of it.
I think you can get extended range drones.
Well, I'm looking at the rules because I brought up the rule book. Letote clingelores. Don't mind me. Okay. I'm looking. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Where is. Okay. Oh, right at the top. Okay. Looking for. Drones, okay. They're all type. You got six type one NEMs. Okay, is any have 4 points of upgrade? You can buy upgrade to a fast. That's a half point. You can buy an extra type one M for a point and a half. Extended endurance. That's it. I thought so for a half a point. So that's something would you want to do, or just want, or do you still want those fast drones to keep your opponent off guard?
Yeah, you want to keep your.
I think the fast drones would have better value than buying extended range drones. You gotta run 3 turns to run a drone drive.
Right.
And that's a lot of dancing around the board at high speed, which means they're not going to have power to do anything else.
Mm-hmm. I should have brought that in. Sorry.
Now, one thing you might think about doing is buying a couple of. This is under those. It doesn't. The math doesn't match. But buy 2 extra Type 1M drones, convert 2 Type 4s, and then upgrade both of them to fast. And so you've got a nasty surprise if you ever need to pull it out. But at that point, you'd be set for a long grind by popping off a drone every turn or so. Unloading the scatter pack, reloading your racks, and if it ever came up, then you could turn around and you could drop two fast fours at somebody. But I do think that the upwards of 8 drone spaces of fast drones is going to be the better buy. Excuse me.
Right.
Yeah, 8 spaces.
Yeah. Yeah, getting the fast drone.
So you swap two type 1Fs for 1 type 4F.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how that works?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because usually what you would do is you do your swap for the 2 type 4s. For, sorry, 2 type 1 for type 4, And then you would upgrade those drones. So it only costs half a point.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Right. No, you could do 8 drones. 8 drones, not 8 spaces.
Right.
Because you can, it's just 1 half point upgrade each frame, not each
right.
space in frame.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But, you know, as we said, with that tactic, we need more drones than anything else. And
well,
to buy an extra type one is a 1.5 points, which is almost half the points you were given as a Zinni.
Here's a question.
Well,
I forgot.
You know, two extra type one M drones is 3 points. You've got one left.
Right. But at the same time, you have 6 one M in the
scatter
pack, which you're going to be taking out. You know? So. Sorry, what was that, Doug?
I forget. Are you allowed to change your drone loadout between rounds?
Yeah, you can have different loadouts, yes.
I believe so. Oh,
okay. Yeah, I think the kids.
You can't change your option package except in
the Orion, which you have two option
you can
packages.
Change your drone allocation.
So basically, you can like come up with a couple different packages that you're going to do for drones
mm-hmm.
based on your tactic that you're going to use
yep.
against a particular
right.
type of opponent.
Right. Which I think is what we were pointing out, which is if you're going for a long-term tactic of kind of hitting him at a long range throughout the game, then you're going to want more drones instead of that heavier punch that the Type 4 can give.
Of course, this ship, you could also just anchor your opponent, too, and feed them drones.
Oh, yeah. That's always an option with the Zinni or any drone ship, like the Wax or the Wind GBS. What is it, Katie?
Pay attention to me, human.
Heck, the Oxbox can have up to 6 drone racks.
Yep.
Yeah, but he can only control, what,
the
three
difference
drones?
Is
six.
The Oxbox doesn't have double drone control. So, yeah, you can only control 6 at a time.
Right. The Octopid. Pig. Actually, yeah.
And the Black Shark can have 4, but it suffers the same problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
same with the Klingon.
That you had to have. I think there was something with the orcs where you had to have like all 6 to have the ability to use 6.
No, you're thinking about the Orion. They have oak disc.
You're thinking oak disc.
Yep.
Oh, yep. Yep. That's it. Thank you.
If you've got 3 or more drones, you can get a disc. I think is what it amounts to.
Oh, there you go, Paul. That could be one.
Oh no, I'm
waiting.
Wait a second. I'm thinking something else.
Taking Orion with drones as one package to just go in and anchor your opponent, launch all your drones, and blow his shields down on Impulse 32 and suck him into range 0 after tractor rotation phase the next turn. There's no feedback for drones.
Oh, understood. But you only have 5 drone ranks. But that's still fine.
And then you could have like a different package for like everything else you're not going to use drones on.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah, just okay. Bum, bum, bum. Mm-hmm. Makes it definitely an interesting ship, I must admit. Because obviously with the Orion, it can double the warp and the impulse, and have that extra energy available to actually traction your opponent. And doesn't have to be range 1. It can be like range 2. Possibly range 3. But I would think if you have five drone racks, your opponent's going to anticipate a tractor auction. If you're within three hexes, and most probably short of your opponent running away at top speed or getting into a situation where he actually can run away, he's going to put energy towards anti-tractor, and you most probably will be able to get closer than range three.
It could always just overrun them, too.
Yep. Because I was thinking about...
End up at range zero and impulse 32, launch all your drones and phaser hose them.
So. Yeah, it's close to a Zinni when it comes to weapons. An Orion, I'm thinking about Orion with five drone racks. Because you have four phaser ones and six phaser threes instead of eight, but close, you know. Obviously, the biggest issue with the Orion is this right here. Six hole, six car cargo.
Oh, just because it's an eggshell doesn't mean anything. Just brick that number one and
oh, yeah,
just sprint towards NMEB.
He's got there.
Yeah.
If you really want to just be me and take five fusions on it.
What was that, Jeff? I'm sorry, Doug was talking over you.
It's got the standard tournament shields, but once you beat a shield down and you get into internals, it really has no buff. No buff at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got six buffs in the cargo, but you got no forward hull, and you got no aft hull.
Right.
So, after the 12 boxes of hull and cargo, just about everything counts. And isn't it one of the lightest ships for control spaces in the tournament? It's only got one bridge and two locks and no emergency.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's the biggest problem with the Orion, is that it has only, what, three? Let me look at the scan. One, two. Yeah. Three control spaces. So it can go uncontrolled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an
one bridge, two oxcon.
If you're worried about going uncontrolled in that ship, you are probably, like, going to lose at that point.
Well, the thing is that there's two ways of looking at it. If you've got a ship that's got a whole bunch of different boxes, like say the Federation Heavy Cruiser or the Wind Black Shark, what you end up doing is you want a Mizzia. You want a Mizzia because you want to get all of those first weapon hits from Jack Shark. If you've got a ship that's very tiny like this, particularly it's got the war cruiser engines, you want to alpha strike the thing so that you get as deep into the DAC as you can so you can burn up the power.
Understood. Yeah, that is one of the benefits of the Zinni, which is, of course, the hull, but also has center warp.
Yep.
Which is a great benefit because, geez, if I recall correctly, it's pretty hard to hit center warp. On the deck, that is.
Well, it does tend to survive a little longer. The Zinni is not as survivable as a couple of the other big boats in the tournament, but it does have an advantage over the Battle Raider. But the Battle Raider, if it's flown correctly, has too many other advantages, not the least of which is an A turn mode.
Right.
Ooh, the Tholian.
Which one? This one or this one? Archeo or Neo?
You know, they're both deadly if played properly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Neo is more forgiving. Because, again, it's not a war cruiser.
Right, right.
And the big problem with the Archeo is that it is a war cruiser hull.
That's true.
Then here's your lovely Seltorin.
Yeah. Of course I love the Seltorin. Which is, that's the funny part. I'm not action faced Atholian with a Seltorin. It's like they're scared of me for some reason. I don't know why.
Or people just don't run them that much.
That is true too.
You've seen a lot of, like, wins, basically.
Oh, by the way, quick note, Historicon this year, July 17th through the 21st, which, of course, I'm going to be out of town for that weekend.
Aw.
It is what it is.
The odds are I probably won't even get to go down for a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as much as I would love that.
Oh, I was going to bring up. Okay, last time it was Wax. Again, Archeo with one Archeo Tholian, which got beat up by Moose. And that was it. Got two Hydrans, a Gorn, two Wax, and an Orion, two Orions. Interesting. I was just looking to see what kind of ships were flown in the past few tournaments. And of course, Klingons, Wax, big surprise. Great Black Shark, Archeothonian again. Captain Ron keeps on flying the Archeothonian. Oh, Madman was flying the Neothonian.
Well, maybe you would get to see one.
Yep. And I didn't.
Okay.
That one I didn't play. On the Sapphire Star Tournament, 15 I did not play. Okay, I think I played in 14. I think I was the Andromedan in that one. Yeah, I was in Andromeda. I beat the Klingon, and then, oh yeah. Steven beat the Andromedan. I forget why. Been a while since I played that game.
Which one was it?
The Wax. It was a phaser bow Wax against Andromedan.
And you were the. Were you the Andromedan?
And last. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Last tournament, I played the LDR versus the Romulan.
And that round went for like extra innings. You guys were like what, 5-6 engagements?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what exactly I did. But I kept on, oh, I know why. That was one. He kept on launching the plasmas. And I got a good hit on him, but he kept on the original cause of my issue is that he cornered me with the plasmas, and there was no way I could get out of that situation. It was a rough one. Oh yeah, it was the one I kept on.
Never overran.
Wild Weasel.
Among other things.
Right.
Yeah,
didn't you run out of shuttles before the end?
I was running low on the shuttles, yes. I don't think I ran out. Actually, yes, I did. At the very end, I ran out, and that's what caused me to lose it in the end. But yeah, for this tournament, I plan on playing the Saltorian, and hopefully, I'll at least win one game.
Just take that Hydrant and overrun him.
The biggest issue with the Hydrant, of course, is Mizzia. That's what keeps him causing it to lose.
But you can lose to any ship to Mizzia.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is a little bit more susceptible than most of the other tournament ships. But, oh my gosh, it can be just totally brutally deadly.
Oh, yeah. The number of weapons it has, the fusions, the hellbores, obviously. Fusion.
It's like you get up to range 1 or 2, turn impulse 30, 31, unload the hellbore, maintain the anchor over the other side, then suicide overload the fusions. Bob's your uncle, the other guy's toast.
Oh, agreed there.
Range 1, the worst an overloaded fusion will do is 6 points. So If you end the turn at range 1 or 0, at range 2, 1 or 0, and off the center line of a Hydrant in the tournament, you're going to receive everything you deserve.
Very true. Very true. I forget, Jeff, how much damage is done with a suicide overload of a fusion?
It's double.
It's double the standard. It's double the standard damage.
Okay, that's what
a suicide fusion at range 1 would do 16 points on the roll of a 1 or 8 points on the roll of a 6.
And you have no feedback.
It costs seven points of power, though, and you lose the weapon after it fires.
An additional internal, if I recall correctly.
Mm-hmm. It's the weapon plus one, like a chain reaction, and it can actually start a chain reaction if you hit a shuttle box that's got a loaded fighter in it. Except for the fact that chain reactions were dropped from the tournament rules, if memory serves.
At that point, your fighter should already be out.
Right. Oh, agree.
Well, yeah. Well, according to regular SFV, a scatter pack or a suicide shuttle with any kind of warhead is also considered an armed shuttle for purposes of chain reactions, which can be really nasty.
But is chain reaction used in tournament?
No. Suicide, so yes.
No.
Chain reaction,
I think we just decided that chain reactions were dropped because of the interactions with the rules. You might want to double check the suicide option on the fusion if it was limited out of the tournament rules too, for that matter.
I kind of doubt it.
But I kind of doubt it too. The thing is that 28 points of power to get that much damage output, plus whatever you've got left in the phaser capacitor. If you're on the center line, you're gonna get both G's if they're both still alive, plus whatever drones are left. That's game winning damage.
Yeah. Chain reactions are definitely not used, and I do not see. There's no mention that that suicide overload is not used. So it must be used.
Yeah. So it's expensive on power, but if you've got it to spare because you're not moving, because it's the end of the turn, basically the guys on the center line at range one. Yeah, he can hurt you pretty bad, but I think you're going to hurt him worse.
Agreed.
What is the power on the Hydran? What is it, 36?
40. No, I think it's 40.
Okay, 30 plus 6 plus 4 is 40.
40? Okay, four. So after housekeeping, you're looking at 6 points, 8 points for phasers or anything else.
Well, heck, you're recharging, yeah.
Plus now, whatever's in the batteries.
Well, if you're going into range one or zero, you're probably not going to be worrying about recharging your phasers because you're going to blow all your phasers on impulse 32. And
well,
push your opponent off.
That's true.
Impulse.
It all depends on what phasers are in arc and available on impulse one after the turn break. But yeah, that's what I was. I was just thinking off the cuff. If he's off the center line, range one over the turn break. Two overloaded L boards probably eat too much energy versus, what would that be, 12 points for both of them?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you're overloaded L board?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in that boat at that range over a turn break, you probably don't need to worry about much in the way of maneuver for the next turn.
That is true.
The whole idea is you pump all that power and blow them to bits. I mean, you know, I was like, okay, you have to have active fire control. You're going to have life support. You're going to have a shield because he is going to return fire. If anything in arc, you know he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the center line, you've got five phaser ones. Both Gatlings, that's another 8 phaser free blast. That's if it's available. But the 4 fusion beams on suicide overload, that's 28 points of power right there.
True.
But
the question though for those is, can you get them in arc? Because the fusion are very limited. You get right front right and left front left.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, most probably, you only get two in arc.
I understand, but if he's on the center line, you can hit him with all four.
Right. But my guess, that's going to be a really hard one to do. If you get that, he's dead anyway.
Well, yeah. It's like
minimum of 16.
So you have like 8 points of power left over. Yeah, if you got to recharge some phasers to shoot at them, that'd be one thing to do. You wouldn't even have to bother with trying to tractor him, and that would just screw with his head. Hell, I'd even give you a hell board available if it's the second turn of arming for it. Yeah, no, it would be nasty. It would be absolutely nasty.
Oh, agreed. the biggest issue will be if you can't, or you're facing like a plasma opponent or a person with lots of drones. Just okay, because
you can also do a lot of like, you've got two tractors for drones, you got phaser G's for drones, you've mm-hmm. got, you know, the ability to brick and run in real close. You don't have to use your hellbores on that ship. That's a thing. A lot of people will get so focused on using everything that they don't realize that if you forego that 6 points of power that you would have to roll over turn after turn, that's a nice brick or extra speed to get onto your opponent for range zero. You know, the only downside of that is, you know, how much damage can you do to him on 32 before you give him four fusions on impulse one the next turn? You know.
That's true.
You know, how much of a brick can you, how much of your shields can you have going into that situation? So.
It does add into the mix.
But you've also got the dual bay. You know, you get your opponent to range zero. You launch two suicide shuttles. He's got to kill them or take them on impulse one. You know, you launch your two suicide shuttles and your two fighters. You know, if they become damage sponges, then that's less stuff shooting you. And more stuff you'll have to kill a ship with on the next turn.
The hydrant has a lot of options. It also has the ability to make a mistake once. And like some of the other stuff.
Another thing that you can do is you can go in for a moderate range attack with some speed changes with your fighters already out. Your fighters could actually do a decent bit of damage in that range 8 bracket. You could alpha the guy, get a shield down, pop one hellbore into it, go pick up your fighters, and then speed up to get away, and just start a ranged thing alternating your hellbores.
Yeah. Don't forget, you've got a 5 and 6 chance of doing some damage at range 10 with the fusions if you decide to use them.
Yeah, you pop all four charges on each of those fighter fusions, and and all four of your fusions as standards, and your 5 phaser 1s.
Yep.
You're going to either take down a shield or you'll put a good dent in it. And you pop the overloaded hellbore on the shield the next impulse. And your
or use the second firing option on the hellbore and fire. And if you use the second firing option on the hellbore, you can fire it outside the volley on the same impulse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the nice thing about that is that if you pop all four of your fusions on the ship, the next turn while you're running away, you don't have to pay power for them. They just have a cooldown. They don't have a multi-turn thing.
Right. Like that 32 any of you want to cooldown, otherwise they're almost analogous to disruptors.
Yeah. But the thing with fusion, you actually can hold them for 1 point of energy. And
which makes them better for disruptors, which means that if you're holding one on the following turn, you can spend 3 points to get it to an overload, which is a point cheaper than a disruptor.
Right. Agreed.
It also means you don't have to discharge an overloaded disruptor because you never got to range 8 at the end of the turn and give away what you were doing.
Understood. And of course, with the fusion cooldown, you can't load energy in it at all during the cooldown.
Which is what I just said.
Nope.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure. Okay, I missed that you mentioned about the energy, but I know you mentioned that about the cooldown and that you do not put energy into it. But the rule says you cannot put energy into the fusions.
Right, and the thing is...
if it's on cooldown, it's on cooldown. The only thing you can do is after the 32 impulses of cooldown expire, you could use battery or reserve power to start arming it.
Right, which is one of the things I was thinking about the Hellbore, which is if you don't use them at all during the game, at least beginning part of the game, you can start turn one using reserve power. And that's the one thing I don't remember, and I have to look up the rules, which is if you start it on turn three, you actually start the arming using reserve power. Is there a impulse delay before you can fire it?
Yes.
Okay.
I forget.
It's called the 9-impulse photon. It's eight impulses from when power was first applied to the weapon.
Okay.
I believe there was a term paper posted about the 9-impulse photons using reserve warp power at the end of turn one and having loaded torpedoes on turn two.
Because that is the benefit of the Hellbore. If you plan for that, then when you get close to the end of that one turn and you realize you'll be able to use your Hellbore, you can start the charger with reserve power so you're prepared for the next turn to use it.
For one of them anyway.
Oh, understood.
You only got 5 points of battery.
Darn. If you only had one more.
Say what? He has got five.
I know. But if he had six batteries, that'd be even better.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, well, us players that have had fun playing the Andromedas, we always want more battery. It's just the way it is.
That is true.
What would you do with three more battery boxes on your SSD?
Oh, man. I would
fly like it was 1999. That's what I'd be doing.
That'd be one thing. Challenge anyone. Okay, I'll fly you with the old Andromedan, the original Andromedan. Actually, do I have... can you get that module? I don't think you can. Okay.
Are you talking the one before the crate?
Yeah, well, when it had the crate, but it was much nicer. It had more internals, more battery. The TTR had... the TTR heavy... From the originally, obviously now they're back, which is good. This is always I would love to have, which was to have four TRLs instead of two heavies, just because there's a benefit to my opponent in that I can't. It causes me to roll more die rolls, and therefore the possibility of having less damage. But also, when you look at the damage chart, it's split it in half, and on those odds, it's rolled down. So if you had, where's the Andromedan? There it is. Like, right here. Roll four of 4 to 5 is 15. Roll 4 to 5 is 7. So if I rolled 2 4s, a range four, it would only do 14 point damage instead of 15 points of damage. So it would be a benefit for my opponent in that case. But I would love to have my old Craig back.
And of course, having four TRLs would give you two extra tractors against drones or shuttles.
Yeah, that would be nice. Because then, at the very least, I could probably use one of the TRLs as a tractor beam. Especially the one that I'm always concerned with as the Andromedan is the whole Zitty Type 4. When he launches Type 4 and two Type 2 and two Type 1s with the 6 Phaser 2s, I cannot kill all four of those drones. It's impossible. Actually, it's likely. It's hard. It's harder to do.
And you're light on labs, too.
Yep. I only have two.
Andromeda has some almost game-breaking toys, but at the same time, they have a lot of blind spots.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the problem with the Andromedan is it's either one thing away from being invincible or one thing away from being totally hosed over 9 ways to Sunday and you're just screwed.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. As an Andromeda player, I'm constantly thinking how to manage the energy in my batteries. Constantly.
But as a ship, it's just never been balanced. And it's probably still not really balanced.
I still wish they would turn around and allow the PA groups, the PA panel groups in the front to be flipped independently of each other to allow you an opportunity to actually put the power from the forward panels into the small battery array.
Oh, you mean change the rules so instead of going from like the front panels to the rear panels... Well, but have it so it could go from front panels directly into the battery instead.
No. So you've got, granted, this is stylistic, and I know that, but on the SSD, you've got PAs 1, 2, and 3 grouped together, and PAs 4, 5, and 6 grouped together.
Right.
And PIs 7, 8, 9, and 10 grouped together.
Right.
So you would flip panels 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, all right? Okay.
There's no room left in 4, 5, and 6. So then it would go to the rear panel, and then whatever's left over goes into the battery, and you're not turning around and releasing 6 panels worth of power that can't fill into the battery.
Right.
Because if you've got any extra points of power with the full battery, you take it as internal damage.
Oh, understood. It's like, where is it? Is it this one? No. I'm thinking about, I know there's some ships where it actually has, here it is, Zinni. See, there's 2 sections for the shuttles, but it's considered 1 shuttle bay. You know.
Yep.
That whole thing.
And that's just because it's stylistically, it looks better to align the boxes in the space provided. And I understand that's the stock answer if you hit the Steves with the issue. I just think that if you're going to limit the size of the battery array to where you can't flip, if you can't start with empty batteries, full panels, and flip the forward panels, the standards to release that power,
mm-hmm.
you've pretty much destroyed the Andromedans' only defensive advantages. Because flipping your panels is the one really foolproof way of restoring your ability to take damage.
And right. Which is why
they can turn around and go speed zero and bring everything up.
Right, which is why the batteries were actually limited to three. And definitely two does not work.
Yeah.
Has to be at least three to have any chance to do a panel, at least a minor panel dump at all. Now, we can we really want to, we can go back to some of the ideas when it comes to the Andromeda that I had. One of those was actually add back the bay. I forget what it was called. And have an energy module in there so that you could actually drain the panels directly into the energy module, and the Andromedans would get zero energy from that. But it allowed them to increase their defenses, but give them no more energy. And I always thought the great thing about doing something like that to try to balance the ship is that you could tweak that energy module to be smaller or larger without changing the ship at all. I thought that was the most beautiful part of the whole idea. One of the ships I hated was the Andromeda. Stupid Hydron. Hellbores. Front, back, same amount of energy. Hey. That's one thing I rarely did, which is, in theory, if you're flying in a direct fire ship that doesn't have like the weapons like the Hydron, where it has the Hellbores, in theory, you should go around with your the rear panels down and your front panels up so that you can easily, after you get hit in the front panels, in theory, you can do a panel dump almost immediately to get to your rear panels or get the energy into your batteries. You know, you can do a panel dump. So.
Yeah, but the only other way you can do that if there's Hellbore in play is to take two of your forward panels flying intentionally. So you've got even coverage fore and aft. Otherwise, the Hellbore is going to, you're going to be cruising in with full, with empty panels, or nearly empty panels in the front and nearly full panels in the back and more Hellbores in.
Oh, understood. Yeah, that was the one thing I definitely do not like with the changes that they did to the Andromeda, you know, three batteries and things like that. And that was that invariably, I find myself, I have to run almost a good part of the turn, at least one turn, where I actually have to dissipate the energy and absorb it into the batteries in between, you know, at the end of turn, because I can't do a panel dump, because it's you need four batteries to do a panel dump, just because of the size of the panels here. So,
about the only other way you could do it is by taking the individual panels offline and turning them off. And I believe there are complications to doing that. It's not like just a standard panel flip. But
right, and then the panels or panel groups.
Panel off.
You can't just turn off like panel number 6 or panel number 5. You can't do that. You have to turn off the whole panel bank.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The third or fourth battery on the Andromedan is just, it basically sets it up to where the Andromedan's got one really good really good crunch pad and wait for six turns while he rebuilds everything.
Right. Well, I think we'll wrap up with that. Jeff, it was an immense pleasure having you back. And actually having a cell phone.
You guys have been missed.
Oh, same for you. You could definitely have missed.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, you have a good night and safe travels. Doug, as always, it's nice to have you around. Anything you want to mention?
Yeah, Gamers of Summer's coming up. Labor Day weekend. Pre-registration is open. We shall be there.
I shall be there. So. Okay, you have a good night.
Thank you.
So, had a nice discussion about multiple tournament cruisers, some ideas about attacking tactics, stratagems about playing this wonderful game, and hopefully we can get those three more players for the Sapphire Star Tournament so we can start it ASAP, kind of. I'm going to be going out of town for like almost a week, starting with July 17th, so if we start before then, we're going to have to get things done quickly. So, with that, I am Paul France, and I bid you a good night.